Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Now, the reason I'm playing Somewhere Over the Rainbow is a number of reasons that I'm playing Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Judy Garland. A couple of reasons which will fit together if you bear with me. I mean, anybody can play the debate and scream about Kane did this, and the Democrats do that, and the liberals do that, and I'll do my share of it, believe me. But boring, boring with a capital G. The fact of the matter is, was Kane on something other than snideness? Because this guy was sitting there like a kid. He looked like a child to me, who kept looking for the teacher's approval. Every time he made a statement, his eyebrows went up like the eager beaver, like, how'd I do? How'd I do? How'd I do? He kept looking to the hapless moderator woman, whoever she was. She tried her best. She was out of her league. But nevertheless, let's put her aside. So he was like a kid on some kind of meds. And frankly, I tell you the truth, the new hero for me is whatever his name is who's running for the vice. I honestly got, oh, what's his name? Pence. I keep thinking of Penske trucks. But the thing is, Pence looked like an American president. If I were casting a movie and I needed someone to play the president of the United States of America, who better than this broad-shouldered guy, this straight white male? This is the guy who represents, he was Captain America. In fact, I wish Pence would run for the presidency one day, and he probably will. This definitely a star is born, let me tell you that right now. Pence is definitely the front runner for whatever year Hillary decides to leave office, let's say the year 3000. I mean, with wonder drugs and organ transplants, she could be with us for a millennium. Nevertheless, he looked great. Pence looked great. And he was great. He was a man. The other one was like a nasty teenager on meds. So I ask, was Kane on something other than snideness? I don't really know. You know, I just played Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Judy Garland to get back to the song for 1 minute before I get into the heavy, boring part of the show today, class. But the thing is this. I used to listen to this song as a kid and never liked it. I didn't understand it. My hard parents and their hard immigrant friends would often cry while listening to her. And I am talking about men who own bars on the Upper East Side of Manhattan who were as tough as nails, street fighters, would walk away, and I didn't understand why they were moved by her. I didn't know why Judy Garland struck a chord with Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And the point was, she was singing about a world that couldn't be. She was singing about a world that never was. She was singing about a world she can only dream of, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And these people who worked so hard could never have the world they dreamed of. And in many ways, neither can we. We watch the debate. We know we can't have the world we want. We know the world that we think existed didn't even exist. We want to go back. We hearken back to an imaginary world that never existed. We keep hearkening to the founding fathers, and we think that they had an ideal world, which they didn't. We idolize them. We revere them, and rightly so to a certain extent, but they were not supermen. They were pretty smart for their time. Still are, have a lot to teach us, but to put them on a pedestal and keep hearkening back is absurd when we're living in a different world. Yes, I know that there are certain things that are immutable. Certain truths are immutable. I get that. I read the Bible. So you want to start hearkening back to that? Let's go back to the Bible. Then who are you going to stop killing once the guillotine starts falling with all of the prescriptions of the Bible, right? What world can we ever be dragged back into that's ever going to be again? So Garland was an actress in the 40s, great singer. And we learned years later that she was constantly prescribed amphetamines to stay awake in order to keep up with the frantic pace of making one film after another. And then she was prescribed barbiturates by the vermin who ran Hollywood before going to bed so that she could sleep. Well, that led to a lifetime of addiction, lifelong struggle. She eventually died of a barbiturate overdose, by the way. All because the movie industry wanted her high and low. Did you know her? Did you know any of this? There was another element of it that I saw while reading about Judy She was very big in the gay community, by the way. Did you know that as well? Raise your hand if you knew that. Do I have any gay listeners who know that Judy Garland was once popular? Can anyone come out of the closet and say you're gay who loves the Savage Nation? I mean, that would really be coming out of the closet. It's no big deal to come out of the closet now and say you're tranny or gay or boy. But the big thing is for a gay person to say they're a conservative who loves Michael Savage, right? But you won't do it. But despite her huge success as a movie artist and a recording artist and concert halls filled around the world, she was filled with self-doubt. She required constant reassurance that she was talented and attractive. Did you know any of that? As do many of our actors today. I don't know who they are, which ones of them are. Oh, God, back to 1982. I have to shut that off. You've Got Mail. Suddenly we're back to 1996. So how I came to watch the most insignificant debate imaginable is very important to you, because yesterday on this radio show, I told you I was not going to watch the debate. Well, I wasn't going to watch the debate, but someone in the family was watching the debate, so I got sucked into it. Now, look, I can read all the headlines. I can repeat what everyone's been saying is going to be saying for the next day about the 70 interruptions, about how Kane looks like a clown, which I've said for 3 weeks. I remember I was the first one who said he looked like Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street. What's interesting, though, is last night the Leprechaun, in waiting for the debate to begin, noted that he looked like a clown from Nightmare on Elm Street. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate that very much. I'm glad to hear the Leprechaun listens to my show. Nice to hear I have friends in high places. Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate that. But last night, you know what's interesting? He didn't look like Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street. Kane looked like the Joker from Batman. And what's interesting is I made that note. I wake up and I see that Trump tweeted that in the middle of the night again. Now, either he's got a listening device in my brain or he and I think alike. I think it's the latter rather than the former. But let's put aside the comic element of last night's vice presidential debate. And now let's look at Kane's actual leftist policies. You see, Kane is Hillary's left hand. Now, if you think Hillary is too far left for the survival of American traditional values, even America itself, by her policies that she says she's going to enact, for example, she wants to bring in 550% more Muslims. When ISIS just put out a memo today telling all Muslims around the world, did you see this one? It was up on the Drudge Report. It's just beyond belief to wake up to this morning. While the clown was up there telling us that we have no right to ban Muslims. ISIS calls for random knife attacks in alleys, forests, beaches, and quiet neighborhoods to go into schoolyards and stab children. Are you listening to what we're dealing with? And this maniac, this stupid idiot, moron, this demagogue, gets up there and says, how dare you say you want to ban Muslims? Hillary wants to bring in 550% more Muslims. When ISIS just put out a memo telling Muslims around the world to use knives to attack people anywhere, in the streets, in the supermarkets, in the alleys, in a schoolroom, on schoolyards. So if you want to bring in more potential jihadis, then go ahead and vote for the pantsuit and for Freddy Krueger. But God forbid you should get stabbed or cut to death or your daughter is found dead in the schoolyard and you have to go look at her body in a morgue years from now. Don't tell me I didn't try to warn you. So now let's look at Hillary's left hand, Tim Kaine's actual record, which we're going to do today. That's right, we're going to do that. Now, if you care to comment on anything I have done so far in my brilliant opening, Captain America versus the Joker, Kaine versus Abel, that's the first thing I did last night on my Facebook, Kaine versus Abel, C-A-I-N versus A-B-E-L, and then I said A-B-L-E-1. Okay, but it takes a little, you know, knowledge to understand the letters. And you have to think. That's a little too hard today. I was right. Somewhere over the rainbow. Sometimes I dream about that myself. Where is that place? Why can't I get there? Why can't I ever get to that place over the rainbow? Why can't America ever go to that place over the rainbow? Are we just dreamers? Are we fools to think that we could ever have America back again? After this lunatic who might bring us into World War III. This madman, I'm convinced, that, by the way, if we survive this man, if we don't get into World War III, if we survive this crazy man, the psychopath in the White House, and then if by some God's will we don't get her, and if the flawed Trump wins, and we get legitimate psychiatry again, and we get legitimate journalism again, which we once had, and we get actual historians rather than Kearns Goodwin, the official scribe of the Democrat Socialist Islamist machine. You hear Doris Kearns Goodwin, the known plagiarist, is interviewing for the job of writing Obama's career. If we get a legitimate presidential historian, they will confirm what I am telling you, that we have had a psychopath in the White House for 7.5 years. How do I know it? I can give it to you in so many different words. Oh, he's going to be leaving office. I forgot. Even though Russia just said in the state newspaper that we're liable to have World War III in a nuclear exchange because of the psychopath and his very, very crazy ego. His need to stare everyone down, and he couldn't break but one man on earth, and that was Putin. The only man on earth who would not knuckle under to this madman, this very, very insecure man in the White House, which is the most dangerous kind of man you could ever have anywhere, this very insecure man in the White House is just liable to lead us into World War III, said the state newspaper in Russia. Don't think there are no consequences to a madman. There are. But there are other indicators. I can't give you the whole show in the first 6 minutes. I almost said 6 minutes. But I can't give you the whole show in the first 6 minutes. But I'm going to give you another example. Last night, Timmy Kaine made such an ass of himself that I went and looked up his actual policies, and we dug up things he said over the years. And one of the things Timmy said over the years was about climate change. Again, another lunatic, a front man for the mafia, the Green Mafia. And he says that anyone who's a climate change denier is bad and this and that and that and this. And then I see that Obama told Leonardo DiCaprio, the actor, the alleged environmentalist actor, that climate change contributed to the Syrian civil war. Now, my jaw fell open. He's lecturing a dumb actor that climate change led to the Syrian civil war. Well, we'll play that later. I said, this is it. We've hit a new low here. Climate change, the civil war now in Syria. But first of all, there's proof that no sea level rise has occurred at all. You see, the Earth's oceans have been steadily rising since the end of the last ice age, Barry. I know you didn't study that when you're blowing dope at Columbia. But if you took even one science course, Barry, oh, I know you're president, but you don't know jack about science, nothing. All you have is stooges. You tell them what to say, and they give you the results you want, just as Lysenko did for Stalin, you schmuck. You think I don't study history? All the scientists in Soviet Union, the Lysenkos perverted genetics in order to prove that Stalin's agricultural plan was correct when it was causing starvation, is the same thing with this madman in the White House. The Earth's oceans, Barry, if you had studied science at all, have been steadily rising since the end of the last ice age. Now, in the beginning, the rise was very, very quick. Several hundred feet of sea level rise in just a few hundred years, Barry. But over the last many thousands of years, Barry, long before you came along, the rise has only been about 3 millimeters per year, Barry. I know that's hard for you to understand. 3 millimeters. I know you didn't study the metric system at Occidental College. Well, maybe you did with those scales that you needed to weigh the dope. But the British and U.S. navies began doing accurate recordings at major ports all over the world about 120 years ago, Barry. And by the way, the sea level rise has been quite consistent, 3 millimeters per year. Now, starting in the early 1970s, Barry, satellite measurements were brought into the world of science. And yes, satellite measurements prove that it's still the ever-reliable 3 millimeters per year. Did you hear that? So only the climate hoaxers, the Green Mafia, still pushes the lies about computer models that predict that the rise will soon be 6 to 9 millimeters per year. Well, they keep predicting it in order to sell more of their products and to rob more of the public treasuries around the world. But it's not happening, Barry. Year after year, 3 millimeters per year. You know what that means? It means you're full of crap.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Two ups, two downs a day. Right now I'm in an up phase. Hope the lunch doesn't arrive before the break. Oh, it was terrible yesterday. I told you what would happen. You get three Savages a day if you're lucky. You get the manicky one in the opening, then you get the middle one in the middle, and then I eat lunch and you go into the low leg. In the old days, it would be the low phase to start, and then the energy would direct the adrenaline itself, and you get a high phase in the middle. What is that guy talking about? I can't follow him. I listen to talk radio all day long, damn it. I'm a simple man. I'm a simple man. I want to hear that them Dems and Libs are no good, and Republicans are good. That's all I want to hear. Let him stop that crap about Judy Garland. And Gaze, what's he talking about there? I don't know. What's he talking about there? Let's go to the callers and see what I'm talking about there. Fred on KSFO. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Fred.
Hi. Thank you for having me on, Michael. I've never thought of calling in before, but I decided to call into your challenge. I'm a proud gay conservative. I don't live by identity politics, so my sexual identity is not something I normally carry a sign around with. But I
started
listening to you on WMAL in 2004 about borders, language, and culture. And you have been right all along, and I'm scared to death what happens if we do not get Donald Trump for president.
Thank you very much. It's 100% true. How can anyone who is, let us say, gay, schmay, whatever, how can they want Muslims to be brought in who are living in a century where they hate gays? What sense does that make? I ask myself over and over again, Fred, but how many free thinkers like you are there in your, let's say, world?
Yeah, I don't know how they do either. The gays are going to be the first to go, and then the women. I don't get it.
Well, and then the Jews, then the Christians. Go figure this one out. I'm sending you scorched earth. Hide it. Hide it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
It is Captain America versus the Joker. I mean, ever you saw a Schmendrick? This guy, I mean, we looked into his background. What a putz this king is. Major league. You say, how did he become a senator and a governor? How? Real simple, the way Governor Brown does it. You get the unions on your side. You get all the illegal aliens to vote for you, and the voters be damned. That's all. Well, there's a mystery to it. Straight out demagoguery. Read the playbook. No, it's not Saul Alinsky. You don't have to read Saul Alinsky. It's the playbook. You give illegal aliens the right to vote. You promise them free medical care, free this, free that. And that's the end of it. And you get lowlifes like this in office. You get lowlifes in high places. You know, I have, if I'm even lucky, 2 years left in radio, meaning I renewed a contract. But I don't think I'm going to do this for longer than a couple of years. I shouldn't even say it. But what I'm doing is I'm blowing out all the stops. I told you that after Scorched Earth, I didn't want to do another political book. It went from Earth Medicine, first book, 1972, Scorched Earth, 2016. Next one will be a book about God. I owe it to him. The debt is due. Contract is due. I'm overdue on that book. But the thing is this, I'm telling you about radio. I'm blowing out all the stops in the next couple of years because there's nothing left. It's either 100% or nothing in this business. So forgive me if I'm wandering into areas that you didn't expect today, but that's where my mind has taken me. I'm almost giddy having watched last night because I see almost the difference between good and evil. This is almost as clear as one man was good, the other one was a total evil snake, a no-goodnik from the get-go, a liar through and through, and he goes back a long way. The other one, I told you, if I was casting a movie, Mike Pence, broad-shouldered, good-looking guy, like five children, married forever, same woman, goes to church. This is what America should be. Not some weirdo who uses illegal aliens to push his poison pills. So we looked up Cain's background. I've got some really amazing stuff that popped up. Number one, we found an ad way back from when he was running for something, where a man comes on the air, he says that he's against the death penalty, Cain is, and as a result of that, his son was killed. Or his son was killed by a guy who Cain refused to have executed. You have to, no one in radio got this for you, because I do, because I spent all morning on it. Clip 3, Cain attack ad, you're not going to believe Cain on the death penalty. Listen.
Tim Cain voluntarily represented the person who murdered my son. And he stood with murders and trying to get him off death row. No matter how heinous the crime, he doesn't believe that death is a punishment. Tim Kaine says that Adolf Hitler doesn't qualify for the death penalty. This was the worst mass murderer in modern times. Being as liberal as he is in the death penalty, he's not representing everybody in the state. I don't trust Tim Kaine when it comes to the death penalty. And I say that as a father who's had a son murdered. And the people of Virginia are entitled to know just what Tim Kaine is and what he stands for.
All right, so you heard it first on the Savage Nation. It'll be replayed across the radio spectrum by the next 3 days because it's obscure, but we found it. The guy who did it, I don't know if he was really the father. He sounds like one of my people, like that I ran away from in New York. I don't know where they got that guy from. I don't know if he was an actor or like a deli man in Katz's, but this guy, he sounded authentic. I hope he really wasn't suffering like from the death, whatever. But Kaine is a dyed-in-the-wool left-wing fanatic, and the best article written on it was done by Front Page Magazine. I don't know who does that. Tim Kaine, a radical leftist wrapped inside a moderate. A look at the philosophy and agendas of the Democrat VP candidates. I'm not going to read it right now. But he's a dyed-in-the-wool fanatical leftist and a liar through and through like all of them are. The one that got me the most last night was his lie about Iran. He kept repeating the big lie. Well, we stopped Iran from getting a nuclear weapon and made the world safer. No. As a matter of fact, Kaine, who pretended to be a friend of Israel last night, was opposed to the invitation to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He was one of the most vocally outspoken opposition individuals. When John Boehner invited PM Netanyahu to speak to Congress about the gravity of the growing Iranian nuclear threat, take a guess who pursued Netanyahu. Kaine joined seven other louts in the Democratic Party in boycotting Netanyahu's speech. Now he's pretending to be a big supporter of Israel, right near the election, to bamboozle the old age homes in Palm Beach. That's all. In May of 2015, Kaine was one of only 14 leftist senators who wrote a letter to President Barry Obama urging him to allow 65,000 people from terrorism-ravaged Syria into the United States as refugees, despite the enormous concern that terrorists could potentially infiltrate the refugee program. Because Kaine has never met an immigrant he didn't like, because he knows every one of them can be used as a tool to get reelected. So that's only one thing. In fact, he ranks as among the most left-wing political figures in the United States today. You wouldn't have known that last night, would you? Other than by his behavior. He is the only person with a 0% lifetime rating from the American Conservative Union, which grades each member of Congress based on their votes every year since 1971. 0% lifetime rating. Could you believe this? Wait, it gets even better. Hold on to your seats, boys and girls. In 2005, the Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated Muslim American Society supported Timmy Kaine in his race for governor of Virginia. In his role as governor in 07, Timmy Kaine appointed Muslim American Society President Essam Omish to Virginia's Immigration Commission. Listen to me, it gets worse by the second. This guy, this Muslim Omish, had previously served as president of the National Muslim Students Association. He's a board member of the Islamic Society of North America, a board member of the Islamic American University, board chairman of the Islamic Center of Passaic County, a New Jersey mosque with deep terrorist ties, and an imam with links to Hamas. He's vice president board member of Dal-i-Hijra Islamic Center, a radical mosque in Virginia whose imams have included Al-Qaeda operative Anwar al-Awlaki and suicide bombing supporter Shakir al-Sayed. It gets even worse about Timmy. In 07, Timmy Kaine was the keynote speaker at the MAS Freedom Foundation Standing for Justice Dinner. That is the Muslim American Society again. In 2010, Timmy Kaine agreed to attend the Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center's annual banquet. In September of 2011, Kaine spoke at an event presenting a Lifetime Achievement Award to U.S. Muslim Brotherhood leader Jamal Barzinji, closely associated with the Palestinian Islamic Jihad Hamas and the International Institute of Islamic Thought. I'll go on and on. The guy is another Islamophile or Islamist-loving lout. How can any Jew vote for him? Answer, Liberalism is a mental disorder. Liberalism is a religion which transcends most American mainstream religions. Liberalism is so powerful a doxy that it overshadows that of most synagogues and churches in the United States of America. That is right. No one ever said that, but I know it to be true. I have met more people than you could ever imagine, the ones I ran away from, who say, well, I'm not really, you know, religious, but I believe my religion stands for humanism. There you go. Now you're looking at it right in the face. Bombs go off, people get stabbed, but they're for humanism. Because they don't want their doxies to be challenged. You get it? Now that's the opening so far to the show, and it's already 40 minutes into the show. It's because I'm high on the eggs I ate for breakfast. I decided to eat a high-protein breakfast. I was going to switch things up. Instead of the oats, peas, and barley groats, I went back to the cholesterol-ridden egg. My brain is functioning much better. Boy, did it need it. Now let's go to the callers. 855-407-282. Spiro, WABC, line 4. What's on your mind, Mr. Spiro?
I am calling to come out of the closet. I do listen to you, Michael, as much as I can. I am also gay and an immigrant, and I'm voting for Trump. And I am not alone.
That's interesting. So, Spiro, what country are you from?
Greece.
I mean, the name is Greek, of course. But in your community of other folks of the same sexuality, do you ever discuss politics?
Actually, we do. We often do. And that's why I said I'm not alone, because especially this election, there are so many people who do see all the lies and the nonsense in the media, and media being so against Donald Trump that everyone is literally angry about what is going on and what's happening to America.
Wait. So you're saying that the gay community that you know, the people in the gay community that you hang with,
yes,
are so appalled at the bias against Trump, the outright lies, that it's backfiring on them?
Absolutely. In my experience, yes.
Well, that's all I need is your experience, because that's all we have is our experience. We don't have anyone else's experience. So looking at that debate last night, so-called, what did you, honest to God, that guy Timmy Kaine, just give me the gut feeling.
Sorry. My hand almost exploded.
Okay. All right. Thanks, man. You're getting the book that I'm not allowed to mention, but I'll mutter it. You're getting a copy of S.E., the bestseller S.E. It offends people who don't have bestsellers right now for me to mention it. They go on my Facebook and say, how dare you talk about your book? The answer is because no one else will. That's all. So here we are. My friends, we're talking, of course, about the debate, and I'm doing it my own way. My own way. That's how I do it. March to a different drummer, they used to say. When you actually do, they want to cut your feet off. I love all the rebels of the 70s. Where'd they go? What happened to them? Where are they? Well, they lost their marching orders? All marching to a different drummer. Now they're all like robots, robotically left-wing idiots. WDRC Radio, line 6. My friend, what is your name? Brian, go ahead, please.
Hello?
Brian, you're... Yes, talk, please, go.
Hey there, Michael. Listen, your dedicated listeners want to hear the many versions of Michael Savage. You know, just hitting us with the political rhetoric all day long is enough to send us right into a telephone pole.
It's how I feel. It's how I feel. I can't do this. If I have to just do liberals bad, Democrats bad, they don't stand for our values. They don't stand for our traditions. We're all so good and clean, and they're so dirty. How can you listen to that stuff?
I know. My God, it's like enough is enough. I'm in sales. I'm in the car all day. I'm a new listener of yours for about a year, and I'm totally hooked. You know, when I hear stuff of Teddy and me, and then I hear stuff of music, and then I hear all the, you know, the in-depth politics stuff, it rounds me out, so... Please don't change it up.
All right, so you like the rivulets. You like the rivulets. You like the free association.
I totally do. And again, this is a guy that, you know, I'm in a pressure sales setup, and I love the distraction, but I also love the distraction that is educated, that teaches me stuff. So,
and I use the free association to come back to the main point. In other words, the mark of a great storyteller is the ability to go, let's say, off here, there, and there, and come back to the mainstream. It's very hard to do. I used to listen to some of the greatest storytellers in the world when I was young, And they always, the good ones were able to do that. They would take you so far away. Meanwhile, they were leading you right back to the main river. And it's hard to do because you could easily lose your main frame of, you know, main thought frame. Okay, I know you don't have time to read, but I'm sending you Scorched Earth because I want you to read it. That's all. Now, I want to go back to Timmy Kaine because we're talking about him. He is the most leftist that you could ever imagine. This is not just a liberal. We're not talking just a liberal. We're talking about a fanatical left-winger who caters to the illegal alien, caters to the Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated organizations, caters to the Islamics from the Palestinian area, caters to the evil Council on American-Islamic Relations, caters to these groups that are so threatening to our survival that only an acolyte of Barack Obama, who's this Islamophile, could do a thing like this. He is not a moderate. He is far to the left of even Hillary Clinton. And this multicultural rubbish, it's what's going to kill all of us. He is for everything that you can imagine, and then some. But I don't want to go into all of the cultural war issues. I can go into his stands on abortion, you know where they are. I can go for his stands on birth control, you know where they are. I can go for his stands on sex education, you know where he stands on that. But the main thing I want to talk about is his danger on national security. Let's, for a minute, let's all agree we're going to disagree on cultural issues. But on the Iran nuclear deal, when he lied last night saying he did a good thing by stopping Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, he did the opposite. The Obama administration has given Iran a fast track for a nuclear weapon. Moreover, by continuing to debase and to attack Russia, he is leading us straight into a possible World War III. And I have to ask you, was Kaine on something other than snideness? This guy looked to me, as a former teacher, like a kid who was high on Ritalin. A kid who took the overdose, was like OD'd on Ritalin, took a double dose. And he kept looking at the moderator for approval. Like you know, a kid who tells a joke or answers a question the teacher asks of the class, and he like looks at her like, they're shaking their head with the eyebrows up. Did I do good? Did I do good? Did I do good? It was pathetic. The other guy stood there, broad-shouldered, Captain America, stable, wouldn't take the insults, wouldn't take the bait. It was amazing to watch. I'm telling you, Pence is a comer. This guy could run for the presidency for sure. Pence is central casting Captain America, a born presidential leader.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
I was schlepping on buses in the slush to study geometry and trigonometry, which I hated. Got A's in them, but hated it. He was touring at 13 in Japan. I couldn't believe it. Cadillacs, 25-year-old bimbos from Las Vegas. Man, was I jealous. Took me years to catch up to him. I'm having a good time. The clown show last night was so invigorating to see what a putz he was. 8 years Trump, 8 years Pence, world saved. End of story. That's it. Pence could easily be, like, perfect.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
So I open hour one, Judy Garland. Just play it for a minute. The lyrics are really touching. I don't know who wrote it. Guy probably lost his girlfriend. Probably committed suicide after writing it in a motel room in Palm Beach. Not Palm Beach, Palm Springs. I always imagine like songwriters went to Palm Springs to die and write songs. Like the elephant's burial ground of songwriters. Why am I feeling good today? This is upsetting. This is frightening. I actually analyze why I feel good. I really think that I'm really nuts. I shouldn't feel good. Everything's wrong. We got a maniac in the White House. We have a maniac waiting to take his place. We got a total certified lunatic on the vice presidential side. Russia's threatening World War III, and I'm feeling good. I don't understand this. I'm giddy. I'm actually giddy. So I played Judy Garland for a number of reasons. I don't know. I stumbled on a song today. I try to do a show based upon what I'm doing in my own head. And each show has to be somewhat emotional or it's boring and dead, and boring for me is boring for you. Dead for me is dead for you. So I take it from the inside out. And the inside was Judy Garland. Somehow I stumbled on her song today. I'm not like a big fan. I don't have like worship things around the house of Judy Garland. I never liked her as a kid. I thought she was creepy. I didn't like her. Like as a woman even. Looking at her as a woman. She was like no turn on. Like you couldn't even imagine being with her. You know, boys do that. Like could you be with her? You know, you can like. But not Judy Garland. It's like something about her that was off. But nevertheless, what I was getting at was the lyrics were so profoundly moving to my parents' generation. I didn't know why. Hard people. They were hardworking people. They were immigrant people, largely. Lower middle class. And yet the women were in love with Judy Garland. And I never knew why. They would, like, whisper about her. Oh, this about her, that about her. I didn't quite get it. And even the hard men would sometimes choke up listening to Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I didn't know why, because they were all living in a world that could never be, dreaming of a world that could never be. And it brought me down to last night's debate and the country we're living in. And many of us want a world that could never be. It never was to begin with and never can be. So we hearken to a world that we think we want, which we do. It's called an idealization, but it can't be. So we have to take what we can get and work with that. You get it? It's like your life itself. I mean, how many lives worked out the way you thought they would? Very few do, and then you do what you can with what you have, and no one's content. I don't know anybody's happy with their life. I never met anyone. Maybe they fake it, but this and that. But no one's really happy. They all want the imaginary world. So now you take your own dissatisfactions, and you apply them to the political world where we think we're going to have nirvana, and you have a total... What you have there is an impossibility. You're not going to get what you want in the political world. So many people turn to other worlds. And whatever they may be, drugs, sex, rock and roll, running, entertainment, doesn't matter. Creation, creativity works. Because in those moments that you can make that painting or write that poem or do that song, do that talk show that's just so good and you can hear the gongs going off in the back of your head, you are over the rainbow. That's what you do it for. That's what performers do it for, is to go over the rainbow. And so... Today is one of those days, and then I stumbled into a statement, if you're just joining the show, where I was talking about Judy Garland and how appealing she was, and I said, by the way, this was a side statement. She was very popular amongst gay people years ago, and I didn't quite know why, but I kind of know why now. She was again dreaming of a world with where there was no sadness, you know, the imaginary world, and many people, and gay people generally, were so unhappy in those days. Maybe they aren't today. I don't really know. How can you generalize? But they were so unhappy. They were living in such misery because of the repression, the oppression, the hidden. I guess that's what touched the community. I didn't know. So I went to the next statement. I'm just reviewing now. This is the review session. And I said, you know, if there are any gays that want to come out of the closet today politically, please call the show. I've never seen a response like this in years. It's as though the pinball machine was tilted and it's all red. Every line has been lit by people who were dying to come out of the closet. And a lot of gay people who want to finally come out of the closet, because it's the hardest closet to come out of if you're gay. It's really easy today to come out as a gay. I mean, it's no big deal. You hear, oh, gay, this, gay. Right, you know, you're used to it already. Then the next thing was always a tranny, big deal, like I care. Okay, enjoy yourself. Gay Gazinta, hey, go buy a pair of Manalos and get back to me. See if you're happy after you break your ankle. I mean, who cares what a person does? I've said I'm a sexual libertarian now for about 12, 15 years, right? So now what we have to do is speak to people in communities like that, if we're not in that community, and say, can you come out of the closet as a conservative or as a Republican? Is it possible? And we got callers like you cannot believe. And that's why I'm happy. That's why I've gone over the rainbow, because I feel I've opened up a whole new door to this show. I feel like the song by The Doors, Breakthrough to the Other Side. Could you play The Doors sometime today, Robert? Poor Robert has to go with the flow. He has to find the song. He has to download it. He has to put it in. He has to play it. I'm demanding it that second, because my mind just traverses, travels. So let's go to some of the callers. These are such good callers that I'm so happy to be doing radio. Line number four, Sheldon in my hometown of San Francisco. Welcome to the program, Sheldon. What's on your mind?
Savage. You know, the reason why your voice, the reason why Donald Trump's voice, the reason why Judy Garland's voice resonates is because it's more than entertainment. It's an emotional experience. I mean, I was touched by Judy Garland's voice when I was like a six-year-old little boy. And her voice, I never forgot her voice. And I'm a black American. You'd expect, she's my favorite female singer of all time. And
Isn't that amazing? I didn't know her appeal and why it was appealing. So you're saying her appeal was the emotion in her voice, correct?
Yeah, it was something about her voice was just so sincere. Just cut through all the BS. Similar to the way your voice touches people. The way Donald Trump, it's an emotional experience. It's not anything you can really explain.
For me to comment on what you just said would be a waste of everyone's time, because when a person says something that's complete, you can't add to it. That's what you can do. So who today, I'll go into another side of what you just said because I'm curious. I got so many callers I want to grab. Sheldon, you live in San Francisco. Are you politically left, right, or center?
Well, I changed to Republican because I was so mad about how the Democrats have just ruined everything. That I was a Democrat before, but I switched to Republican. I registered as a Republican. I changed it, and that, for me, a big thing. I'm trying to talk my mother into changing to Republican.
But, Sheldon, you're an African-American man. How do we live with what we have in the Bay Area with such 14-carat phonies? How do we live through them? The newspapers don't exist. There's no opposition whatsoever. The stooges in the news business are an embarrassment to the word news. What do we do? Where do we turn? I guess all we have is a little bit of talk radio and a little internet. That's all that's left.
It's had to just be not afraid to speak up. And, I mean, people that are deceived by all this media now is really scary. But you can't let that stop you from speaking the truth. Just have to
Believe me. Hey, let me tell you, Sheldon. It's not that I'm afraid to speak the truth, but I look over my shoulder. And let me tell you something else. I've been looking over my shoulder since I began to talk radio. It's gotten a lot more looking over more shoulders lately, especially after I saw the movie Snowden. So let's leave it at that. I'm sending you Scorched Earth. It'll be in a plain brown wrapper so it doesn't offend your mother. The phone number is 855-407-282. Let's go to the next caller. Val, again, San Francisco, KSFO, my hometown. Val, what's on your mind?
Well, thank you, Dr. Savage. Thank you for giving us a voice, because we are out here. I've been a conservative. I've been in the gay community for about 18 years. I've been a registered Republican since I was able to vote. I don't know why I have been, but to me it's just common sense. But I have to be quiet about my political views amongst my community, and it's tough. So,
why are they so militantly anti-Trump and so militantly anti-Republican? Do they not understand the actual issues? How did Trump get a reputation as being homophobic when he has never done anything negative about gays in his entire life? The opposite happens to be true in his business world. I don't understand that. He's a social liberal. He always has been. Why does the gay community hate him so much? Did they just buy the poison pill that the Democrats put out?
I think absolutely. I think they don't know what to do with Trump because he is different than the labels that they put on Republicans for forever. And I don't think they want to think outside of the box. You know, my greatest accomplishment is converting my partner, who's been a lifelong Democrat, and all I did was say, do some research. And now she's done research, and she's a little more conservative than I am. And it's just been...
Watch out, you might have to leave her for a liberal.
No, I'm grateful that I finally have someone that sees things, you know, really common sense. And that also.
Okay, but Val, you're a gay woman in San Francisco. You have to hide your politics. Don't you feel that there's an oppressive air in your community and in the Bay Area in general? An oppressive air that you have to pretend that you love everything that the liberals do? Doesn't it overwhelm you?
It absolutely does. I mean, I've gotten criticized more from the gay community than I ever have from the straight community. The straight community is a little confused because they don't understand how I can be conservative and gay. And I have to explain to them, I don't compartmentalize that. I don't live by a bunch of labels that I'm supposed to be living by. I happen to have two kids. I was a single mom. I'm Hispanic. There's all these labels that the Democrats and the liberals want you to live by, and I don't live by them.
All right, so you actually are an outlier in your community. You're a rebel. So I don't think there's that many people in your community. I mean, they're all calling this show. The ones that listen to me to begin with, are the lines are jammed out with people from that, you know, that side of things sexually, who want to suddenly call and say, yes, I'm a conservative, and why, which I love, because it is a door. It's a door into a whole other world for most listeners to radio who never hear this. So I'm going to give you something for your girlfriend, but watch out. She's liable again, leave you for someone more conservative. I'm sending you scorched earth, restoring the country after Obama, because I think if you give it to her, that's it. She'll become more conservative than you. Be careful. Unless she already read Government Zero, the other book. Who knows what? Now, let's go to a few more calls before we go back to Cain versus Abel, before we talk about Captain America versus the Joker on the Savage Nation. I don't know who to take. I just don't know who to take. So many great callers. Guys, pick one for me. I don't want to talk about Judy Garland, per se. I want to move across the country. Robert, WABC in New York. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I'm taking your challenge and coming out as a gay conservative U.S. Army veteran on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
Oh, my God. That's like a three bars in a casino.
I'm in, like, very little company here.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it must be like for you. You have to hide your political viewpoint, huh?
Well, actually, I don't hide it. I've lost a lot of people on Facebook because of my political views, and if they cannot, I mean, I would listen to them and their liberal views, but they're hostile to gay people with any kind of conservative view.
You know, a guy went into a bar here in San Francisco the other day, and he was wearing, two guys, they were wearing a Make America Great Again cap. And the lesbian bartender threw them out of the bar. She said, you got to get out of here. Now, of course, it's a violation of their civil rights. They said, wait a minute, we didn't do anything. She said, I don't care, get out of here. So the bouncers came over and they said, frankly, we're also for Trump, but we can't say it. So there's a militant fascism in some people that they use, let's say, either their race or their sexual orientation as a weapon to impose their fascism. Don't you see that as well in your world?
Absolutely, absolutely. I actually have a partner of 15 years who is the total opposite of me politically, but we don't kill each other over it, and we actually have some very good discussions.
You don't bring your politics home with you. In other words,
no, we do. We love talking about it. I'm trying
okay.
to get him more.
Well, maybe that's a healthy thing that America is finally talking, and that even within the gay community, you're seeing conservatives standing up for their beliefs. Look, it comes down to this from my point of view as a straight guy looking in. How in the world can anyone who is gay vote for a candidate who says she wants to bring in 550% more individuals from a certain religion, amongst whom there'll be 0.1% who will want to throw you down a well or cut your throat? Why would you do that?
Right. Because they're liberals, and liberalism is a mental disorder.
Okay.
That's exactly.
Well, okay, we're reading from the same playbook. My friend, there goes another copy out of my pocket. There goes another book for free out of my pocket. Scorched Earth goes out to you. Again, the show is flying along. Allegedly, we're talking about Cain versus Abel. But I think that what we're doing on the side is so much more fun that I now have to bring you back to the main river here. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about Obama's crazy statements to Leon DiCaprio about global warming and drought caused the Syrian civil war, and I will compare it to a story from 1933 where an imam blamed yo-yos for causing the drought.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Like a blow-up job. I mean, the guy went from stunning, handsome movie star idol to like whatever. It looked like Marlon Brando in his last years. A bloat job. A great actor, though. So I have very little time, but I have to make an admission. It's a tragic admission to make. I told you that my mood changes when I eat, and unfortunately I just had a snack during the break. The lunch arrived. I thought I ordered Japanese to be on the light side because yesterday I almost died from two Chinese meals during a break. And my mood went into the trash can from eating too much because the blood goes into the labanza. It goes from the brain down into the stomach. So I forgot I ordered Italian food for lunch. So I just threw the bread away. All right, I threw the bread away. I'm eating the calamari part of the sandwich. And thank God they didn't send the French fries. It's only steamed vegetable, like hospital food. So I may be able to sustain it for another hour and a half. We'll have to wait and see. But we are talking about Cain versus Abel, Captain America versus the Joker. And, of course, Abel won. The whole world knows that. But I don't know that it's going to matter in the election, because the only good news from this debate was that we now know exactly the line of attack that the she-monster will use against Trump. Everything that he said last night was the same script that they're going to write for her. Taxes, taxes, taxes. So Trump's pre-warned what to do. The problem is Trump is not Pence. Pence is more measured. Pence is less insecure, I think, in some ways. No, to be straight up. And Pence was this broad-shouldered, like football player, who could take the insults of this twerpy guy from the chess club. The nasty little chess club guy. You know, look what I did, look what I did, look what I did, look what I did. I don't know if Trump's going to be able to take it. I hope so. Now, when I come back, more on the far-left policies of Timmy Kaine.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So, now I got to go back to the politics. Play this instead for a few minutes. But when I start to manja, let the calamari digest. Oh, I got to digest the calamari. Hey, wait a minute. I don't want the calamari to digest me. All right. So, here we are going back to Cain versus Abel. I have not yet read my producer's thoughts on this last night. Strangely enough, they were awake at 9 o'clock. Jim Verde said, I don't want to see any more. This is the worst thing to happen to the Trump campaign. I can only hope no one was watching. He said Pence gave such a weak performance it will do nothing but damage him. He actually thought Pence failed by being too nice. He said the post-debate analysis claimed Pence won, but again, the media misses the big picture like they did with the Trump phenomenon. People in this election are looking for fighters. Pence was not a fighter. Cain was. People are paying less attention to what is being said and more attention to how it's being said. That's why Trump won the nomination. That's why Cain looked better last night. That's Jim Verde. But he is the older guy in the crowd. Then Robert Borowski is the young guy. He says this debate was nothing short of brutal. One can only hope that no one in America decided to watch, but with the media penetration that had, you know that's not the case. Moderator never had any control. At times he wanted to reach to the TV and punch Cain in the face because he wouldn't let Pence answer anything. And on and on. And he said Pence did a terrible job of speaking for the Trump campaign. He took too much of a high road and allowed Cain to beat on him the whole time. That's an interesting one. I don't have Doug's. I'll get to that later. So anyway, look, the summaries were pretty clear in the media. It was all bias all the time. Cain and Pence trade punches on policy. Cain and Pence defend their running mates. Cain struggles to pin Trump's scandals on Pence. Cain suggests that Trump is a fool or maniac on nuclear weapons. Cain to Pence, you are Donald Trump's apprentice. Pence said Trump's used the tax code the way it was designed to be used. And on, you know, we've seen it all, and today it's already, it's enough. So, we'll do it in our own way. And one of the things I want to do now is I got to get to that thing with the yo-yo that I found. It's, last night, the left-wing Cain alluded, you know, he was a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, like on every issue. More Muslims, more immigrants, anyone who's opposed to it is a bigot. We heard it all before. Just go to any college today, you can get the same beat-up lecture. Stupid. Makes no sense. So we found a Cain speech on climate change deniers from 2014 that is worth playing in clip 17 now on the Savage Nation.
Now we have naysayers, and there are two kinds of naysayers. There are science deniers and leadership deniers. And I want to talk for a minute about both. The first are a group of people who, despite the overwhelming scientific consensus, say that, lies. Oh, no, there's no scientific evidence that liar. Humans affect climate change.
Liar.
Or that there's even any change in the climate going on at all.
Liar.
Despite this overwhelming scientific
consensus, we don't say that, liar.
The senator from Vermont mentioned some quotes from members in this body who deny that science exists. To science deniers, I am happy to say that Virginians are pro-science.
That's absurd. That's stupid. Just absolutely stupid. Then he goes to clip 18, if I can find my thing. Go ahead, keep going.
Now, there is a second argument. It's not science denial, it's leadership denial. These folks may not deny the climate science, but they deny that the U.S. can or should be a leader in taking any step. They say, look, even if we reduce U.S. emissions to zero, it wouldn't offset world emissions unless China or India did something, and so let's just not do anything. That is just not the American way, folks, for us not to lead on something.
Whenever someone says the American way, reach for your Glock. That's all I can say, because they're coming to get you. Whenever anyone wraps themselves in the American way, watch out, they're coming to get you. That's all I can tell you. Now, first of all, I explain in great detail to you, if you're willing to listen to the actual science, that for the last 120 years, U.S. and British naval observatories have been measuring sea levels around the world very carefully, and there's only been a 3 millimeter per year rise for over 120 years. It's not changed in 120 years. It's the same 3 millimeters per year. That's all it is. So climate liars, climate hysterics like him, who are selling you a bill of goods, and they only want to do this for one reason, because of the big money in green rackets. The green rackets have made more millionaires than you can imagine. Billionaires, in fact, building solar plants in the deserts of Nevada that produce very, very little electricity proportionate to the amount of money that they've raked out of the public. So again, just remember the science when you're trying to make up your mind on this big lie, which is 3 millimeters per year sea level rise for the last 120 years. It's irrefutable. So if you want science, I just gave it to you, because I actually have a PhD in science, Tim. Admittedly, it's not in climate science, but it is partly in botany. And Tim, if you learn basic science, plants are actually related to climate. I love when people say, well, you don't know anything about climate, you only studied botany. Yeah, well, plants are related to climate. So there is some relationship. And if you study plants, you study carbon dioxide. There's a little bit of that in here. So, yeah, I can tell you the science is fraudulent. There is no climate change based upon the levels that they're talking about. Yes, of course there's a slight warming. No one's denying that. But it's not related to our pollution. Now, I've been opposed to pollution longer than you could imagine. I fought against pollution for a long time. I helped save rainforests for real. I helped document the indigenous plant remedies of these rainforests for years. My collections are in seven herbaria around the world. I'm very proud to tell you, and they're in the Kew Gardens, London. They are in the Bishop Museum in Honolulu. They're in the Hermitage in Moscow. They're in the New York Botanical Garden. My plant collections are world famous, whether you know it or not. I never ever talk about it because it's kind of an obscure point. And it's an important point, because I have one collection of all of my plants that I collected over those many years in the South Seas myself. These are herbarium specimens. You collect the plant, you dry the plant, you press the plant, you make notes on what it's used for by the people there with the local name. I have a huge collection in one herbarium case. Would you believe this, in one of my homes? And when I go in there and I pull out these sheets from 1969, 1970, and I see the newspapers that I wrap these plants in, I can almost be back there right now in the streets of Suva, working in the dryer over there and smelling the copra as I walk in the streets. But the point is that, yeah, I have a background in science, albeit not in environmental science, but partly in botany. So therefore, I know a little bit about how to read science. That's all you need to know. It doesn't actually matter what your field is. What matters is that you know how to read the literature. That's all that matters. It's like anything else. Do you have to study political science to study politics? No. I can read neurology and understand neurology. What's the big deal? If you learn how to read a scientific paper and you hit a few words you don't know, you look them up. It's a matter of whether you have the mental capacity to even understand what you're reading. So what I'm saying is they're full of crap, in other words, about climate change as a result of man's activities. In plain, simple English, it's a scam. It's in order to make sure that some of the wonderful people in San Francisco's brother-in-laws can make $2 billion a year on fake solar plants in the desert and never be called out on it. That's all. Now, that's the set. That's the setup. Now we come to part two of this diatribe about climate. Obama meets the fool, Leon DiCaprio, and talks with the other Schmendrick about climate change. And he has the nerve to say that this is the President of the United States saying that climate change contributed to the Syrian civil war. This is great. Listen to this one in clip 19.
There's already some really interesting work, not definitive, but powerful, showing that the droughts that happened in Syria contributed to the unrest and the Syrian civil war.
Oh.
Well, if you start magnifying that across a lot of states, a lot of nation states that already contain a lot of poor people who are just right at the margins of survival, this becomes a national security issue. And that's why, even as we have members of Congress who scoff at climate change at the same time as they are saluting and wearing flag pins and extolling their patriotism, they're not paying attention to our Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Pentagon.
Marsh marks with uniforms.
This is one of the most significant national security threats that we face over the next 50 years.
The schmucks at the Pentagon who wear uniforms are nothing but ushers in a movie theater. They'll do whatever this guy tells them to do. So if he tells the general, you're going to sell climate change no matter what, the guy says, I'll do it. He's not going to lose his job. What does he know about climate change? So now everything in the military is around either gay rights, transvestite rights, or climate change. Nothing about defeating ISIS. And you wonder why we're stuck in a quagmire in our inability to defeat a ragtag army without an Air Force or a Navy for all these years. It's because the maniac, the commander-in-chief. Now, I want to compare what I just played for you. That stupid man coming up with this nonsense about climate change in the Syrian civil war. I was doing some research on this subject, and I stumbled upon a 1933 article where a Muslim imam in Syria was offended at the yo-yo. There was a yo-yo thing was just introduced to Syria. And a lot of the people were using yo-yos. You know, you throw it down, it comes up. So the imam, being the wonderful, fun-loving people that they all are, you know, they kill kids who play soccer or watch soccer in some countries, wonderful people. The imam went meshuga on them, and the imam wrote a story on the yo-yo, saying it caused the drought. It was causing the drought in Syria. I mean, this imam is about as intelligent as Obama, or shall I say Obama's about as intelligent as the imam who blamed yo-yos for the drought in 1933. So the imam is quoted in Syria in the 1930s saying, drought and severe cold is disastrously affecting the cattle in Syria, and the Muslim chiefs at Damascus have attributed the wrath of the heavens to the recent introduction of the yo-yo. They say that while the people are praying for rain to come down from above, the yo-yo goes down and before reaching the ground springs up through the subtle pull of the string. The chiefs interviewed the prime minister and exposed the evil influence of yo-yos, so they were immediately banned. Today the police paraded the streets and confiscated the yo-yos from everyone they saw playing with them. Now you tell me Obama's any different than this yo-yo of an imam who blamed yo-yos for a drought? Obama's basically a yo-yo with a great voice and a terrific delivery. Who else would believe him but entertainers who are so whacked out of their gourds they don't know what they're talking about? So that's it. That's the whole story. I did it. I'm good at this. 3 millimeters per year. Never forget what I said to you. Irrefutable. 120 years studies by U.S., British naval services, sea levels around the world, 3 millimeters per year over the last 120 years. No difference. 3 millimeters per year. No matter what they want to sell you, the answer is 3 millimeters per year. They're selling you lies in order to steal more money from you. That's all. Now let's go to some of the callers. Let us go to the callers. So we'll start with KLIF, the segment, in Dallas, Texas. Call on line 7. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
And we already offered him a year.
Beginning of your statement. Repeat it, Carl. I don't know what you said.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Sorry about that. I was just... I'm at work, and I'm actually doing work right now, so I was...
I thought you were talking to someone else. That was great. It was like me ordering a calamari sandwich in the middle of talking about Kane. So what's on your mind? What's on your mind?
I'm one of the gays for Trump, so that's why I called earlier.
Right. So you feel that... You took my challenge, that if you're gay, come out of the closet if you're a conservative.
Yeah, I've been out of the closet as a conservative my whole life, so it's not really.
Well, okay, so let me ask you something. You don't mix your sexuality in with your political decisions wisely. You're able to separate the two.
Right. If there was someone who was saying something hateful about gays, I can make political decisions about them. But that's not. I'm not running. I'm not a gay.
So why does the gay community continue to smear Trump as a homophobe? Where did that come from? Who started that lie?
It's all these left-wing gay websites that get all their news from queerty.com or these places. I don't even click on the articles because I know they're bull. And they'll say, oh, Trump went to, hung out with this one person at this one thing, and that one politician was one time linked to,
They did that to me for 20 years. I had that for 20 straight years. They would smear me until eventually the intelligent members of your community actually started to listen to me, and then they fell in love with my show because they know it's the most creative show in the history of talk radio. Carl, I'm going to send you Scorched Earth in a plain brown wrapper so you don't lose your job, and I'll be right back to take your calls and give you all the latest on whatever I want on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. In the waning moments of this hour, I've got to give you two shocking stories related to last night's debates. Random knife attacks called for against the United States by ISIS, and you want more immigrants from Muslim countries? A new magazine issued by the Islamic State advises lone jihadists to get over any squeamishness about using knives and embrace sharp objects as widely available weapons of jihad in stabbing campaigns. They've told Muslims around the world to target teens playing sports after school, or even to attack flower sellers hawking flowers. They told young jihadists that you don't have to be a military expert or a martial arts master or even own a gun to carry out a massacre or to kill or injure several disbelievers and terrorize an entire nation. So they want you to pick up a knife if you're a devout Muslim and go stab someone, a grandmother, an infant, a wife. You know, one day there's going to be a reaction in this country. You're not going to like what happens. I will tell you that the men in this country, and there's a lot of us, they will start reacting in ways that the elites, if you want to call these vermin that, will never expect. And I'm not looking forward to that day, but if they keep bringing these throwbacks into this nation, another little story to show you what the goofball in the White House is doing. Russian state newspapers predict direct military conflict with the U.S. as it compares serious stalemate to Cuban Missile Crisis. More than, if you look into the story, they say that America under Obama is out to prove it's the only superpower, and they want a war with Russia because they know that our Air Force is superior to the Russian Air Force. But the Russians are saying, yeah, watch out. You may shoot down some of our planes, but we'll launch nukes at you. This is what this idiot, the psychopath in the White House, is bringing us to. Agita, agita, my Goomba.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
When I was governor of Virginia, there was a horrible shooting at Virginia Tech, and we learned that through that painful situation, that gaps in the background record check system should have been closed, and it could have prevented that crime. And so we're going to work to do things like close background record checks. And if we do, we won't have the tragedies that we did.
So he's the Frito of the Democratic Party. That's where they got him from. Tim Kaine, Frito. So Tim Kaine is so far to the left that he makes Hillary Clinton look like a conservative. Welcome to hour number three. Tim Kaine took a life-transforming mission to Latin America in 1980, and he became a born-again Sandinista. And my question is he more Karl Marx than Jesus Christ? And I think you will come to the conclusion that it's the former rather than the latter. Because while he was in Honduras, Timothy Frito Kaine embraced an interpretation of the gospel known as liberation theology, the same exact liberation theology of the Pope, the same liberation theology of Obama, the same liberation theology of the radical left. It's not Jesus-oriented, it's Marx-oriented. It's never been mainstream Catholic thought. It's radical Marxist-based ideology. which for many, many centuries was at odds with the Church, the Pope, of the United States, but supported by the Soviet Union. But now this theology of what I'm talking about, liberation theology, has become mainstream because of the genius in the White House, the yo-yo in the White House. And that's it. So if you want liberation theology as opposed to Christian theology or Catholic theology, you got your man. You got Frito ready to go. Already made. Ready made for you. Full-blown revolutionary he is not. But as an American Jesuit, be very careful. The Jesuits are an extremely radical group and have been for hundreds and hundreds of years. And Jesuits have always stood for revolution. This is not murky. This is the reality. And you now have a deeply implanted Jesuit revolutionary running for the White House as a gussied up, cleaned up vice presidential candidate who's for everything good in the world. Everything good in the world, he's for. Everything bad in the world, he's against. So if you want to go for the clown, go ahead, go for the clown. He is far to the left of even Hillary Clinton. Now, I can play all the sound which we have of him cutting him off and of this and of that. And as I said to you at the beginning, if you just tuned in, I was not going to watch it. I didn't intend to watch it. But a family member was in the house watching it. And so I got drawn into it, and I couldn't believe what I was watching. He's worse than I even thought he was. And weirdly enough, I mean, I woke up and I thought it was my own thoughts. I said, no, he doesn't look like, as I've been saying, and copied by so many in the media, like Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street. Everyone said clown, clown, clown. They wouldn't say Freddy Krueger because they would have been copying me. So he looks, I said, no, he looks more like the Joker in Batman. And I wake up and I see Trump texted the same thing last night, tweeted it. So Trump and I are on the same, like we think the same way, which is why he's so loved, which is why my ratings are through the ceiling, which is why so much of what I say resonates with him and what he says resonates with me. So I'm talking about that. We're talking about the other news stories. And Bill Clinton, of course, stepped in it yesterday when he put down Obamacare. Then he backtracked, and now he's saying it's good. And we got all of that stuff. We played Kane, ads about Kane from when he ran for the governorship. Those were good. We know he couldn't stop interrupting Mike Pence. That's the mark of a very weak-minded man. That's a man who is on something more than Lipton tea. It's probably a combination of narcissism, ego, desperation, anger, fear, and the need to be constantly approved by women. He kept looking at the moderator for her approval like she was a teacher, remember? He wasn't looking at the camera, meaning speaking to the audience watching the debate, was he? He kept looking to her like every time he made like he thought was a zinger with the eyebrows, he would look at her like, see, 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 good, 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 good. He wanted her like to pat him on his head. The man is a schmendrick. I mean, it's frightening to see there's a jerk like this could get such a high position, a governor, a senator. But we've come to understand that the alphas don't go into politics. The smartest people I know are not in politics. The smartest people I know don't go into academia or politics unless they're in the hard sciences. They're the only ones who are the alphas. In the other fields, it's not really the best and the brightest. Trust me on that. So now what we have is another level. These are like high betas, most of them, to put it into the Brave New World scenario. High betas, most of them. Some of them are high betas at most. Very few alphas. Now, Obama's an interesting case. He comes across like an alpha plus, but he's actually a delta. He's a mental delta. If he could get up with Leon DiCaprio and talk about climate change the way he did, and I compare it to the imams talking about yo-yos causing a drought in the 1930s, I'll tell you the guy's not as the alpha that you think he is. Just got a great voice. A great voice. Anyone who's a great voice, believe me, everything's sad, believe me. I'm Obama the Great. So he, like, hears his own voice, and he thinks he's wonderful. Reminds me of the story of, was it Aristotle who walked around in ancient Greece? And he spoke to strangers because he loved hearing his own voice. Well, it's unfortunate for him there was no electronics in those days. The guy would have had a hit radio talk show, that's all I can say. It's the Aristotle Hour here on the... Yeah, whatever. But there was no radio, so he spoke to strangers just to hear his own voice. That's what we have with most of these people. Just they want to hear themselves talk. And we're stuck with them. But the problem is there are real consequences to their actions and their belief systems. And they're not good consequences necessarily. Just because they want to do good doesn't mean that the good actually comes from what they want to do. Sometimes real bad comes from they want to do good. As you well know, the road to you nowhere is paved with good intentions. So now we have Obama wanting to do good in Syria. Are you sure it's good? I'm not sure it's good. Why does he want to go to war with Russia? Because Russia had the audacity to bomb and to take out the terrorists who were hiding amongst children and women in hospitals in Syria. And in so doing, offended Obama's sensibilities. How dare you kill our friendly rebels? How dare you kill our moderate terrorists? How dare you use bombs to kill people in order to win a war and get them out of there like the rats that they are? So Obama's threatening an air war against Russian airplanes. He wants a dogfight. Because we have the best dogfighters in the whole world. These boys are the smartest and the best and the fastest. It's unfortunate that they're going to be used like pawns in the game again by a psychopathic leader to go into war. But they're going to do what they're told to do, and they will shoot down the Russian planes. Our pilots are much better than the Russians, and our planes are much better than the Russians. And if you think that's going to be a good thing, you're crazy. Because the Russians are seeing it another way. They're saying we will probably lose warplanes, but we'll launch nukes at America if they do that, because Obama's trying to show he is the most powerful man on earth. This is all about Obama. This is not about Syria. This is not about the Syrian civil war. This is about a madman who is again trying to prove he's the most powerful man on earth. And he has crushed every opponent on the planet except one. I'm talking on the world stage. He doesn't bother with small fry like us in the media. We're nothing to him. He's crushed everyone who stood in his way except one, Putin. They have not broken that nut. They have not cracked that nut. So he's got to crack that nut in his mind in order to go away victorious. I'm Obama. I destroyed everyone. I am the great one. I will go to the UN now and take over the world. This is what he wants. I don't think that's going to happen. You know the old one, the unintended consequences. I guess Barry didn't study that at Occidental College. It's not a course they taught at Columbia University. They didn't teach these things. So let's go to the callers. That's all. That's the opening to three. It's 15 minutes into the hour. Can you believe this already? The show, I mean, is good. I started with Judy Garland. If you missed hour one, I'm sorry, you missed one of the great shows of the last 10 years. It was good. I was like flying. I was over the rainbow with that first hour. So it led me to think today that many of us in politics have an imaginary view of the world, an imaginary view of what a Republican should be, what a Democrat should be, what a conservative should be, what a liberal should be. We all want some imaginary thing to happen. We want to go back to an America that never existed, except in the minds of some, or go forward to an America that never can exist. It's impossible. The world has changed. I mean, you could take the original rules and apply them up to a certain point, and that's as far as you can go. But you're not going to bend the world in your own image. You see what I'm saying? It's the same in your own personal life. All of our lives have their imperfections, don't they? But we've learned to live with them. That's how we live. Freud said, if you wake up one day and you find yourself with one leg, he said, learn to crawl. He said, learn to crawl on the one leg that you have. And that's the same with our political system. It's broken. The people in the political world are horrible. They're just betas, deltas, gammas, bagmen, gonifs, the lowest. I think of like, okay, I don't want to get too graphic. It's not a stand-up comedy show. But if it was, what I would say is I imagine these people, how low they are. They're lower than you think. How you can spend your every waking minute, if you're on a committee in the Senate or in Congress, to think about how you can trick someone so your mate can make money. Do you realize what a low life that is? To spend every waking minute thinking how you can steal or steer contracts to someone in your family and not get caught. Do you imagine waking up every day to think about doing that? And you already have billions of dollars, but you want more. Do you know how sick they are? And there are no term limits. I think half the senators are comatose. I don't even think they report to duty. They wheel them in on a gurney. I don't even know if they vote. Where are they? I'm not speaking about anyone specific. I'm just asking where they are. How can we have Dianne Feinstein, for example, on the Senate Intelligence Committee, one terrorist attack after another over the last number of months, not one peep out of her? Where is she? Where could she be? How could she keep her job? How can we have a system where you have an octogenarian who is apparently senile and not there, not doing her job, and she still has a job. Answer, how could you have a schmuck in charge of the DHS who lets one terrorist attack after another occur and doesn't get fired? Answer, because you have a psychopath in the White House who encourages them to think the way they think. That's how. Fish rots from the head down. Now, very soon, you're going to hear the rumbling in the background outside the studio, because this weekend is the Blue Angels, which I love, love, love so much. They're going to start performing and rehearsing soon. You'll hear the roar and rumble of our F-A-18 heroes going by. Let's pray that our boys are not sent into harm's way by this maniac just to prove he's got the biggest in town. Let's hope that our boys are not sent into a war zone to engage in a combat to prove that our president has the biggest in town. You know, can't we stop him? Is there no way to stop the maniac? Don't we live in some kind of democracy? Isn't there a War Powers Act? Before you launch men into a war, you have to go to before Congress and have a discussion and a vote? Not me. I'm Obama. This is my Air Force. I do what I want with it. I've gotten everything else I wanted. If I want war against Russia, I'll have war against Russia. See? That's how it works. Isn't it great to have no government? I'll be back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Roman civilization did not pass peacefully away. It was assassinated. So said the French scholar André Pigeonniol. And I dedicated my book, Scorched Earth, to that thesis. And I try to explain to you that this civilization of ours is being assassinated by the left. I try to explain to you that what you watched last night has to be seen in a broader context. You saw on one side of the aisle in Pence a hope to save our society and our civilization. And on the other side, we saw a radical Marxist trying to blow it all up, to assassinate it. And I'm very clear on it. Obama is invading his own nation. He is surrounded by the most dangerous subversive organizations in the United States. And such. There's corruption in both parties. We know that. But when you look at the rhetoric of Cain, and you look at his background, and you look at his lies last night, that he wants to help Israel by giving Iran a nuclear weapon, and then says he stopped Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, which everyone knows to be a complete lie. When we look at his history in the Virginia governorship, backed by all of the radical Muslim groups in Virginia, put in power by the radical Muslim groups and by the illegal aliens and the unions, and how he wants to seize your guns under the guise of registering, you know, just a few background checks this way to the showers. Just please come in here, this way to the showers, just a few background checks. And before you know it, they've annihilated your Second Amendment. And let me tell you something, it's not xenophobic to fear fundamentalist Muslims. It is not xenophobic to fear fundamentalist Muslims. Even though Cain says, how dare you? You and your boss want to deport Muslims. You want to stop them from coming in. That's a violation of their constitutional rights. Well, let me remind you, ISIS has no constitutional rights, Cain. To you, any voter with a pulse has a constitutional right except the American taxpayer. Your president, Barry Obama, has brought in more Muslim nation immigrants than the entire population of Washington, D.C. 680,000 of them. The gates to the United States have been trampled open, especially to people who will trample us if they are not stopped. Their holy book teaches them not to love thy neighbor, but to convert thy neighbor and impose the medieval system of oppression known as Sharia law. Now, I want to remind you, I grew up in a melting pot. I grew up in New York City. I'm an immigrant son. I know what minorities think. This is not the same as my childhood. Not the same at all. There is one religion in the world that wants to conquer all others. And Obama's bringing them in as quickly as he can. It's all on pages 148 to 152 of Scorched Earth. I suggest you read it. And I suggest you give a copy to someone in your family who's an ignoramus. A brainwashed, ignorant fool who is digging their own grave.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
came to watch the most insignificant debate imaginable is very important to you, because yesterday on this radio show, I told you I was not going to watch the debate. Well, I wasn't going to watch the debate. But someone in the family was watching the debate, so I got sucked into it. Now, look, I can read all the headlines. I can repeat what everyone's been saying is going to be saying for the next day about the 70 interruptions, about how Kane looks like a clown, which I've said for 3 weeks. I remember I was the first one who said he looked like Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street. But last night, you know what's interesting? He didn't look like Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street. Kane looked like the Joker from Batman. And what's interesting is I made that note. I wake up and I see that Trump tweeted that in the middle of the night again. Now, either he's got a listening device in my brain or he and I think alike. I think it's the latter rather than the former. But let's put aside the comic element of last night's vice presidential debate, and now let's look at Kane's actual leftist policies. You see, Kane is Hillary's left hand. Now, if you think Hillary is too far left for the survival of American traditional values, even America itself, by her policies that she says she's going to enact, for example, she wants to bring in 550% more Muslims. When ISIS just put out a memo today telling all Muslims around the world, did you see this one? It was up on the Drudge Report. It's just beyond belief to wake up to this morning while the clown was up there telling us that we have no right to ban Muslims. ISIS calls for random knife attacks in alleys, forests, beaches, and quiet neighborhoods to go into schoolyards and stab children. Are you listening to what we're dealing with? And this maniac, this stupid idiot, moron, this demagogue gets up there and says, how dare you say you want to ban Muslims? Hillary wants to bring in 550% more Muslims when ISIS just put out a memo telling Muslims around the world to use knives to attack people anywhere, in the streets, in the supermarkets, in the alleys, in a schoolroom, on schoolyards. So if you want to bring in more potential jihadis, then go ahead and vote for the pantsuit and for Freddy Krueger. But God forbid you should get stabbed or cut to death or your daughter is found dead in a schoolyard, and you have to go look at her body in a morgue years from now. Don't tell me I didn't try to warn you. So now let's look at Hillary's left hand, Tim Kaine's actual record, which we're going to do today. That's right, we're going to do that. Somewhere over the rainbow. Sometimes I dream about that myself. Where is that place? Why can't I get there? Why can't I ever get to that place over the rainbow? Why can't America ever go to that place over the rainbow? Are we just dreamers? Are we fools to think that we could ever have America back again after this lunatic who might bring us into World War III? This madman, I'm convinced that, by the way, if we survive this man, if we don't get into World War III, if we survive this crazy man, the psychopath in the White House, and then if by some God's will we don't get her, and if the flawed Trump wins, if the flawed Trump wins and we get legitimate psychiatry again and we get legitimate journalism again, which we once had, and we get actual historians rather than Kearns Goodwin, the official scribe of the Democrat socialist Islamist machine. You hear Doris Kearns Goodwin, the known plagiarist, is interviewing for the job of writing Obama's career. If we get a legitimate presidential historian, they will confirm what I am telling you, that we have had a psychopath in the White House for 7.5 years. How do I know it? I can give it to you in so many different words. Oh, he's going to be leaving office. I forgot. Even though Russia just said in the state newspaper that we're liable to have World War III in a nuclear exchange because of the psychopath and his very, very crazy ego. His need to stare everyone down, and he couldn't break but one man on earth, and that was Putin. The only man on earth who would not knuckle under to this madman, this very, very insecure man in the White House, which is the most dangerous kind of man you could ever have anywhere, this very insecure man in the White House is just liable to lead us into World War III, said the state newspaper in Russia. Don't think there are no consequences to a madman. There are. I'm almost giddy having watched last night, because I see almost the difference between good and evil. This is almost as clear as one man was good, the other one was a total evil snake, a no-goodnik from the get-go, a liar through and through, and he goes back a long way. The other one, I told you, if I was casting a movie, Mike Pence, broad-shouldered, good-looking guy, like 5 children, married forever, same woman, goes to church. This is what America should be. Not some weirdo who uses illegal aliens to push his poison pills. So we looked up Kane's background. I've got some really amazing stuff that popped up. Kane is a dyed-in-the-wool left-wing fanatic, and the best article written on it was done by Front Page Magazine. I don't know who does that. Tim Kaine, a radical leftist wrapped inside a moderate. A look at the philosophy and agendas of the Democrat VP candidates. I'm not going to read it right now. But he's a dyed-in-the-wool fanatical leftist and a liar through and through like all of them are. The one that got me the most last night was his lie about Iran. He kept repeating the big lie. Well, we stopped Iran from getting a nuclear weapon and made the world safer. No. As a matter of fact, Kaine, who pretended to be a friend of Israel last night, was opposed to the invitation to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He was one of the most vocally outspoken opposition individuals. When John Boehner invited PM Netanyahu to speak to Congress about the gravity of the growing Iranian nuclear threat, take a guess who pursued Netanyahu. Kaine joined seven other louts in the Democratic Party in boycotting Netanyahu's speech. Now he's pretending to be a big supporter of Israel, right near the election, to bamboozle the old age homes in Palm Beach. That's all. In May of 2015, Kaine was one of only 14 leftist senators who wrote a letter to President Barry Obama urging him to allow 65,000 people from terrorism-ravaged Syria into the United States as refugees, despite the enormous concern that terrorists could potentially infiltrate the refugee program. Because Kaine has never met an immigrant he didn't like, because he knows every one of them can be used as a tool to get reelected. So that's only one thing. In fact, he ranks as among the most left-wing political figures in the United States today. You wouldn't have known that last night, would you? Other than by his behavior. He is the only person with a 0% lifetime rating from the American Conservative Union, which grades each member of Congress based on their votes every year since 1971. 0% lifetime rating. Could you believe this? Wait, it gets even better. Hold on to your seats, boys and girls. In 2005, the Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated Muslim American Society supported Timmy Kaine in his race for governor of Virginia. In his role as governor in 07, Timmy Kaine appointed Muslim American Society President Essam Omish to Virginia's Immigration Commission. Listen to me, it gets worse by the second. This guy, this Muslim Omish, had previously served as president of the National Muslim Students Association. He's a board member of the Islamic Society of North America, a board member of the Islamic American University, board chairman of the Islamic Center of Passaic County, a New Jersey mosque with deep terrorist ties, and an imam with links to Hamas. He's vice president board member of Dal-i-Hijra Islamic Center, a radical mosque in Virginia whose imams have included Al-Qaeda operative Anwar al-Awlaki and suicide bombing supporter Shakir al-Sayed. It gets even worse about Timmy. In 07, Timmy Kaine was the keynote speaker at the MAS Freedom Foundation Standing for Justice Dinner. That is the Muslim American Society again. In 2010, Timmy Kaine agreed to attend the Dar al-Hijra Islamic Center's annual banquet. In September of 2011, Kaine spoke at an event presenting a Lifetime Achievement Award to U.S. Muslim Brotherhood leader Jamal Barzinji, closely associated with the Palestinian Islamic Jihad Hamas and the International Institute of Islamic Thought. I'll go on and on. The guy is another Islamophile or Islamist-loving lout. How can any Jew vote for him? Answer, liberalism is a mental disorder. Liberalism is a religion which transcends most American mainstream religions. Liberalism is so powerful a doxy that it overshadows that of most synagogues and churches in the United States of America. That is right. I no one ever said that, but I know it to be true. I have met more people than you could ever imagine, the ones I ran away from, who say, well, I'm not really, you know, religious, but I believe my religion stands for humanism. There you go. Now you're looking at it right in the face. Bombs go off, people get stabbed, but they're for humanism. Last night, Timmy Kaine made such an ass of himself that I went and looked up his actual policies, and we dug up things he said over the years. And one of the things Timmy said over the years was about climate change. Again, another lunatic, a front man for the mafia, the Green Mafia. And he says that anyone who's a climate change denier is bad and this and that and that and this. And then I see that Obama told Leonardo DiCaprio, the actor, the alleged environmentalist actor, that climate change contributed to the Syrian civil war. Now, my jaw fell open. He's lecturing a dumb actor that climate change led to the Syrian civil war. Well, we'll play that later. I said, we've hit a new low here. Climate change, the civil war now in Syria. But first of all, there's proof that no sea level rise has occurred at all. You see, the Earth's oceans have been steadily rising since the end of the last ice age, Barry. I know you didn't study that when you're blowing dope at Columbia. But if you took even one science course, Barry, oh, I know you're president, but you don't know jack about science, nothing. Well, you have his stooges, you tell them what to say, and they give you the results you want, just as Lysenko did for Stalin, you schmuck. You think I don't study history? All the scientists in Soviet Union, the Lysenkos perverted genetics in order to prove that Stalin's agricultural plan was correct when it was causing starvation? Is the same thing with this madman in the White House. The Earth's oceans, Barry, if you had studied science at all, have been steadily rising since the end of the last ice age. Now, in the beginning, the rise was very, very quick. Several hundred feet of sea level rise in just a few hundred years, Barry. But over the last many thousands of years, Barry, long before you came along, the rise has only been about 3 millimeters per year, Barry. I know that's hard for you to understand. 3 millimeters. I know you didn't study the metric system at Occidental College. Well, maybe you did with those scales that you needed to weigh the dope. But the British and U.S. navies began doing accurate recordings at major ports all over the world about 120 years ago, Barry. And by the way, the sea level rise has been quite consistent, 3 millimeters per year. Now, starting in the early 1970s, Barry, satellite measurements were brought into the world of science. And yes, satellite measurements prove that it's still the ever-reliable 3 millimeters per year. Did you hear that? So only the climate hoaxers, the Green Mafia, still pushes the lies about computer models that predict that the rise will soon be 6 to 9 millimeters per year. Well, they keep predicting it in order to sell more of their products and to rob more of the public treasuries around the world. But it's not happening, Barry. Year after year, 3 millimeters per year. You know what that means? It means you're full of crap. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Maybe I'll sing my own version of Oh My Papa one night and bring the audience. All right, it's enough already. So I see the storm, Hurricane Matthew. I don't know who it's named for. Matthew Weiner the writer? Hurricane Matthew is barreling up the Caribbean. They're abandoning Florida to South Carolina. Officials are warning that hundreds of thousands of people would have to evacuate. You know, this proves one thing. There's no doubt that this hurricane, even though they've been around for ages, is caused by global warming and by climate change. I'm sure Obama will give that speech sometime in the next 48 hours. This proves beyond a reasonable doubt how we have to get climate change under control. It also proves that there's racism, that God is a racist. There's no question that if God were not racist, there would not be hurricanes amongst the poor people of color in the Caribbean. The hurricanes would be directed at the Ukraine and Russia. That's right. This proves that God himself needs to be re-educated, and all the hurricanes of the world need to be redirected into the Ukraine. And moreover, I've given a directive to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Bob, come on forward, to spend all of the resources of the military trying to steer that hurricane to the Ukraine. We're living in such crazy times. It takes this to get through it. At one gas station in Mount Pleasant, the line reached about a quarter of a mile down the street. Remember that age of the gas thing? People like filling up tanks in their trunk. Remember those days? Jimmy Carter, the gas tank thing? Who knows? It could hit. I mean, there are hurricanes. They do hit. That's why hurricane windows were invented in Florida, boys and girls. Remember? before Obama came along, there were hurricanes. Even before Leon DiCaprio was in movies, there were hurricanes, not caused by his private jet. Near Fort Lauderdale, the Home Depot in Davie. Oh, God, I have to hit the sneeze button. Near Fort Lauderdale, the Home Depot in Davie briefly ran out of propane for gas barbecues. And the supply of batteries was dwindling. People bought plywood to cover windows, tarps to put over outdoor furniture, and coolers for food storage. All right, look, it's real. I'm not down there. I'm not laughing at it. That's what people do. Shutters and windows and this. And usually at the last minute, at the last second, we're all watching. And it's like Y2K. The last second, just when you expected to barrel in and destroy everything, it somehow goes out to sea. It knocks over a sailboat somewhere in the Caribbean. They show you a picture of the sailboat. And there's Anderson Cooper next to with the tight dungaree. And here we are outside with the sailboat. Well, my friend, this is definitely a serious storm, according to Obama. Very serious, definitely caused by global warmists. This is the first time we've ever seen a hurricane. And we absolutely have to understand it's a direct result of Republican policies. If there were no deniers of warmists, of warming trends, and of global warming, there would be no hurricanes. They would have ended a long time ago. They would have left our nation. They would have left the earth in shame. They would be plying their horrible trade somewhere else, maybe on Mars. But we have to beat down this love of fossil fuel to stop these hurricanes. Well, it's been fun, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation. Thanks for staying with me. Cain versus Abel. Abel won. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.